Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything year-long retreat. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. I was muted. Sorry about that. Not quite in the groove yet.
Desperately looking for what it is that I need to do to unmute you. Oh, dear. So our assignment was draw a picture of life. Of course, what you draw is not as important as how you go about the assignment, record and listen. And before we hear from callers, Sherry, there were a couple of people who wrote into the support line and asked about recording and listening because this was their first time
doing it, actually. Lovely.
And so I just thought we'd take a moment to tell folks what we mean by that, especially if they're starting their practice of recording and listening. One, to go to the recordingandlistening.org website, which has all kinds of information on how to do this practice.
And
Ashwini? This retreat, yes?
Ashwini, and that's all written out, right? Recordingandlistening.org.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And perhaps for this retreat, just to start out with, part of what we're encouraging people to do is do the exercise, pick up the recorder, and just record what they saw about doing the exercise, you know, just to get familiar with the practice of recording the insight and listening to it.
Yes, and the only thing, of course, that we always encourage people about is not letting negative voices, self-hate, get hold of the recorder and have any judgments or opinions about it. So it's just as if they were on the call telling you and me about the insight that they had, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people on here, so we don't get to hear from everybody what their insights are. So as Jeff was pointing out yesterday, we can have a little discussion group of one with us and the recorder, right? So I can get off the call and I can pick up the recorder and talk about everything that I saw, all my insights and awarenesses, and then I want to listen back to it.
Yep, and then see what happens when I do that.
Yes, yes, and for those who are new, just to know that many of us on this doing this are what we fondly refer to as junkies. And so we're doing that constantly. Every time something happens and we have an awareness, an insight, a moment of clarity, whatever it is, we pick up the recorder and record it so that we don't lose any of those and so that we have a lot of really uplifting kinds of things to listen to instead of listening to that negativity in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. With that, shall I open up the line, Sherry?
Yeah, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi.
Was that excitement?
Hello?
Helga.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad that you have this year-long retreat again, because it really, you know, for the time that we didn't have that, I really missed it. You know, this daily assignment, and you know, kind of I see myself drifting away, you know, very easily.
Yes.
And
yes.
Going under, and then,
yep.
You know, and this kind of helps me to come back. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, and it's two things, isn't it, Helga? It's part of it is accountability, which is always good for us because we make a commitment to something like this, and then we get to see how we get talked out of it. So there's that piece, but more than that, it's support. Right, because this is we want to live in conscious awareness, and having something that we come to every day that brings us to conscious awareness. It's like the people who are doing recording and listening every hour. What they report is they never get that far away because the alarm goes off and they record and listen and they're here, which is what you're describing, right?
Yeah. And for me, you know, I mean, I can just see how, you know, ego just really drags me away where I feel I'm alone and isolated. And, you know, something like this just really reminds me that there is like a whole group of people, even though that might not be right here, but, you know, there's a whole group of people that are doing this together. And it's so important to me, you know, it's just because that's, you know, then when I do the assignment and, you know, just even now calling into the radio show, you know, there was this moment where I felt like, oh, my God, you know, I shouldn't call because I haven't recorded and listened for a while now. And I, you know, and then it's like I'm this failure and it's like I have nothing to say or, you know, it's like, or I feel or that part wants me to feel ashamed,
right.
You know, and that's the way it keeps me separate.
Yes.
So,
and
yeah, just, you know,
and
yeah.
what's so powerful about that, what it wants to present as a failure is in fact your awareness practice. Right? You're getting to see how it drags you off into, oh, you're all alone and you're isolated. And then when you come back so that you're not alone and isolated, it says, yeah, but you can't participate because you haven't been doing it right and you should be embarrassed and ashamed. And you're getting to see all of that, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
It's good.
Anyway,
it's
I'm
good.
Here.
Yeah, here we are. It reminds me of one other thing, Helga, that yesterday on Good News Update before open air, radio show, Jennifer was there talking about the virtual meditation groups, and she was really making the same point that you're making, that because it happens with everybody, right? The voices want to get us off by ourselves, alone with them, so that they can tell us their stories about how awful life is and you know, everything we know. And she was saying that doing the virtual meditation, that she gets on that, and suddenly there's this connection with Sangha. There are all these other people who she doesn't know who they are. you don't talk to each other or see each other, but you're all meditating together at the same time. And there's that feeling of support again that we so desperately need. All right. Well, it's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice, too.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. No, I actually called in, you know, to report something about the assignment, but I know that I've talked a long time, so I'll just let it go.
That's okay. We have time. What is it?
Oh. No, I mean, yeah, so I did the drawing, and you know, like it said in the book, you know, it's like what I realized, or I've seen that many times in my life where I feel like I have this, there's this expectation that ego puts on me that I should have this beautiful drawing, and I have it in my, kind of in my head, and it looks kind of like Vincent van Gogh, and then I start painting, and of course it doesn't look anything like it, and so I always, you know, I realize I've seen that in tennis and everywhere. There's these unbelievably unrealistic expectations that ego has on me, and I always fall short, of course, you know, because they're so unrealistic. But what I then also noticed was, and so oftentimes or sometimes I don't even attempt anything because it just, you know, it's painful to feel that disappointed. But then what I noticed this time also was that I do it, but there is like this slight, this impatience that comes in. So that I don't, you know, I kind of rush through the whole thing because, as I said, it's kind of, it's not even worth it anyway. And and so I really miss sometimes, just the process of just being there and giving myself the time. And, you know, it's like an underneath, I mean, the impatience and everything is just kind of like a mild form of anger.
Yes. And the bottom line is, you don't get to enjoy.
Exactly.
Right? That's the sum total of the whole thing, whether you're it's these standards and it's disappointment or it's impatience or it's, for some people, it'd be anxiety. Whatever it is, the point is that that's what we're meant to put our attention on instead of just relaxing and being present and enjoying the process.
Right. And that way, also, I never know, you know, what I'm actually capable of. I mean, I don't give myself the time for it.
Wow, what a good point. What if you actually can paint like Vincent?
Yeah, or really like me.
Even better, like Helga.
Yeah. I love it.
All right, thank you for that.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Thanks, Helga. You know, Sherry, it occurs to me that as we go through the year, what we're really going to see is the structure of egocentric karmic conditioning and all the ways it operates, right, on an impersonal level. So what Helga described is such a classic process. Set up an expectation that you will never meet. Mm-hmm. Be disappointed in that, and so never do it. I mean, that's a classic ego structure, which if we are caught in, that's the picture of life that we actually live. And then when the heart wants to do something, we're constantly bombarded by the voices, as a consequence of which we are not there for what it is that we're doing, and consequently are not able to follow our heart's desire and be skillful at something and enjoy the painter, poet, artist, awareness practitioner that we are. I mean, that's another classic outcome of the life we live when we're in that ego process.
Well, that last point is so powerful that Helga was making, that that process, it not only stops us in the moment from being able to enjoy whatever it is that we're doing, but it makes our lives smaller and smaller, because anything that we would choose to do to go up against it, it stops us from, by using that same process.
Okay, well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rochelle from Charlotte.
Well, hello, Rochelle.
Hi. So what I saw, I had so much energy around the year-long retreat, and I was so excited when I got the book in the mail. I was like, oh, my gosh, and excitement about the assignment, almost too much excitement, and the possibilities of what to draw were just endless. And then I had to kind of...
A little manic,
might you say,
a little manic.
had to kind of calm down enough, and then all the ideas were really too big for what I had time to do last night. And, again, had to keep paring down and paring down the energy. And I was able to draw something, and, you know, because conditioning talks about my drawing, but after it was finished, I was excited about it and liked it. But I noticed this in a lot of things in life, that there's so much excitement and energy and ideas, and it actually gets in the way of actually getting something done. And I had to keep calming myself down and say, it's just the picture of life. What is life like right now? And just sketch it out and do it. But I've noticed that. It's funny because I noticed that was something else that I'm working on, and it's just there's so much excitement and so much possibilities that it's actually distracting from getting anything productive done. And so I noticed that a lot. And once I noticed that and recorded about it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this happens all the time.
So how can you have all that energy without ego turning it into distraction, basically? Right, because I mean, you sound completely lit up, which is it's something that we all really enjoy. That just being so alive experience. But how can we stay in that so alive and not let ego pull us into, well, then this and this and this and this, and everything is more interesting. Everything I can think about is more interesting than what I actually need to be focused on right here in front of me.
Well, at least for me, that I've noticed is, for one thing, meditation. Okay, that I don't know what that does energy-wise, but it seems to organize the energy. The other thing that I have to do is exercise, just to blow off the extra energy thing, so that I can settle down and actually get something done. And so that's one thing that I have, through practice and over the years, that I have to do.
Or get to do. We could say get to do, right?
Or get to do.
Because so many people are in the opposite camp from
they
that.
They can't.
I don't feel like exercise. Oh, no, I can't. I don't want to meditate. And you realize that I have all this energy, and the best things for me, physically, the best thing for me is to exercise, and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, since those are all connected with physically, the best thing for me to do is meditate so that the intelligence can organize all of this in a way that supports me instead of pulling me off into distraction.
Yes, and again, to just look at the guidance, it was very simple. Just
draw a picture.
and conditioning and the energy takes it off and makes it really complicated, but it's really very simple. It's nothing, and you can't do it wrong. It's not being graded. Nobody's going to judge you. Just draw a picture of life.
And have fun.
That helps a lot with other things in life. It's like, okay, before I get distracted about this, what was the simple direction that life was pointing to? And stick with that.
Right. Take that shower. Yeah. I really relate to what you're saying and have to reel myself in constantly because I will literally be on my way to take a shower and come up with 15 or 20 things that I want to do on the way to that. And often I'll just hear myself say, okay, Huber, to the shower. That kind of thing can go on forever. It's not negative, right? It's all perfectly fun and fine. It's just, it just doesn't get the shower taken or the picture drawn.
Yeah. And it's fun and it's so many ideas and stuff. But there's something about it that is underlying that is distracting, you know, for the poor human being. I just don't do the basic thing that I need to get done.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like take the shower rather than cleaning the whole house on the way to the shower.
Yeah, exactly. Scrub out that tile before I take that shower. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Rochelle. I think it's really helpful to see the opposite side of that because we don't hear about that a lot. We hear a lot about trying to find enough energy to do something or trying to make myself, the whole procrastination thing. And so having that kind of same process but with very different on the other end of the continuum, I think is helpful to hear about. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rochelle. What dropped in for me, Sherry, something I've been playing with is that awareness container of all, like if we're identified within quotes with the largest place that we could possibly be identified with, then we contain the energy of all. But we're also able to be embodying that energy in the local experience of the now. And that is that little voice that tells us, What now? We can live in the most expanded awareness of the all and operate in the local experience of the now. I think it's navigating that, I think, that you and Rochelle were talking about.
Yeah, well, I loved her word, organize.
Yes.
Right?
It organizes
that, again,
the energy, yes.
Yeah, that's not a way it's usually talked about, but that is the perfect word for how it feels. That life can organize and manage
all of it. And
yes,
if we can keep attention on awareness, which is what you're describing, then all of it is available to us. And what now? What now? What now is guiding us?
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen from Wisconsin.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. Well, glad to be back with the Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really just happy to be part of this group today.
Uh-huh.
I'm just, that's,
I know that feeling.
I'm just happy mm-hmm. to be a part of this group.
Mm-hmm. Is it, so did you draw your picture of life?
I did, and I'm pleased with it. I think it looks really, I mean, when I thought about drawing a picture of life, I was like, green, trees, and that's what I drew. I drew trees and a forest and some fairies and roots coming down from the trees, and I'm happy with it.
Uh-huh.
I thought
you're happy
my
with
process,
it.
Yeah, my process was I thought about the picture for a long time before I actually got to it, which was right before I went to bed. And so that was kind of mm-hmm. something I noticed. It was like I was putting a lot of thinking into it, and then I was like, well, don't forget to actually do it. Don't just think about it.
Uh-huh. Well, and thinking about it, describe that process for me, if you will, please. What was thinking about it like?
It was actually quite pleasurable. I, because there's so many places to go with the draw a picture of life prompt, mm-hmm. and but I kept coming back to trees, so or foresting.
So yeah. So what I'm curious about. Because, again, I relate to that process. And what my experience of it is, and I'm going to tell you that, see if yours is similar, is that, so I don't think actually I have the ability to think at this point in my life. If thinking is kind of a linear this to this to this to this to this, I don't think I'm capable of that. But what happens is every time awareness turns to or attention turns to draw a picture of life, something appears.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's a, or, yeah, and then the next thing appears. So it's almost what we were describing with recording and listening, how you record an insight, you listen to it, there's another insight that comes, you record that, and it's this kind of, I don't know what, how to describe that, but you know what I mean. It's almost a leapfrogging or that kind of thing from awareness to awareness to awareness. And that was my experience with this. So it didn't feel like thinking about it as in conditioned mind is going to figure out what the perfect drawing would be back to the, and then I'll be held to that standard, but more just seeing it and then seeing something. And then seeing something.
Yeah, it was kind of. And then when I got started, it was kind of like that too. Like I didn't really know where I was going. And then it was just from one thing to the next. It was like and adding something, and
it would just occur to you,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So the roots, like that, and then there's fairy, and you would just see it arise.
Uh-huh.
I just think that's important for us to explore, because otherwise we miss what to me is a really important aspect of how we experience life. Where what we're experiencing is coming from. So is it I need to go to the grocery store and I need to pick up this, oh, I better make a list of that, and on the way I need to, that I can't do that, because that kind of conversation versus you're just drawing along, draw your tree, and then the roots. You add the roots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that dropping in versus figuring out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Fun. Yeah. Good. All right. Thank you, Karen.
Okay. Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Karen. Sherry, it looks like we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is Christine.
Hello, Christine.
Hey, Christine.
Hey. I took off my headset. Oops. That's okay. I'll just leave it off.
Well, you sound good, so.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you. So the first thing I saw just getting on the call was how important it is to ego that I look good, and that was the main thing that came up. Oh my gosh, you know, if you get on, then you know I need to look good. So I guess I decided
to
push.
Need to have an important insight, right? Kind of spectacular to report.
Yeah, something. That message was, I need to look good. So I'm not going to worry about that. And I thought I would continue to press the star six or the whatever it is, one, to get on so that I can keep doing what conditioning doesn't want me to do. And let's see, the other thing. So I drew the picture, and there was something. Gosh, I've been seeing a lot, and I've been seeing a lot about how ego controls everything, and how I'm not allowed to do these things, and I am maybe allowed to do these things, and how much I'm controlled. And so it feels like just starting these assignments that I'm getting a little bit of freedom back. And which is wonderful. And so the process that I saw this other process, which is I'm going to do this assignment, and here's my book. So I take the book and I open it up and I put it on the table. Okay, I'm going to do this. And I grab some, you know, colored pencil things and put them there. Okay, I'm going to do this. But first, I need to. It's just like when you were talking two callers ago. The same thing. I'm excited to do it, but I really have to do these other 20 things before I take a shower or before I do the assignment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty familiar process that happens, that it does to me.
You know, the other one that I want to underline while I have you here, because I think it's just one of those universals that can go, as they say, under the radar. You have to look good. And the assumption that's held in place is you don't.
Yeah,
That ego is in charge of making sure you look good. Because without ego controlling you, you're not going to look good. Because who you are is not enough.
Yeah. Yep, who I am is not enough. And what it tells me is the stakes are really high because it takes something that I really want in my life really, that might be important to me, like, for example, a relationship. And so that's important to me that I have a healthy relationship in my life with the opposite sex, with a man. So I'm told. So then it brings that up. Well, you need to look good because you're never going to get what you want because, you know, you need to look good or you're not going to get those things that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of the sticking point of,
Yeah, because the thing is, what you don't want is a man. You don't want to be in relationship with a man who actually knows you. And then we're gonna
yeah, then we're going to throw healthy into the mix. So I want to have a healthy relationship with a man who has no idea who I am, because I'm always, when we break it down like that, we realize, this might not be the direction we want to go. So seeing how you're being controlled is really critical, isn't it? I mean, that's a huge part of what we're doing in practice, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you, Christine.
Yes, I'm doing some of those things that I'm told, even it's just simple things, like you're not allowed to turn on music now. You're not allowed to dance. You're not,
So you're getting ready to go somewhere with somebody, and you say, well, shall we blah, blah, blah? You know, it doesn't have to be a screaming no to get the message that, and that's how ego controls us, isn't it? It rarely has to yell, no, don't do that. It just kind of rolls its eyes a little and goes, and we know, we get the message.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank All you. Right. I see it's time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Christine. Wow, what a powerful conversation, Sherry. And that brings us to the end of the show. And our assignment for today is, hang on, I just lost my place, is what were the most important steps that brought you to where you are today? Don't get bogged down by trying to figure out which are the most important. Record and listen.
Yeah. Yeah, something like most, ego will just hop on that and paralyze a person for a lifetime. So we could just put all sorts of steps in, and maybe they're not the most important, and then maybe we'll realize after we've gotten it all done that, oh, I can't believe I left that. We can always add it.
Yes, I'd go with the sticky notes approach.
Right. All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
Take care. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.